It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here on WGN Radio. And we're getting real winter in the Midwest. Not so much in the rest of the country. But for those of us in the Chicago area and elsewhere, as we close out deer seasons, and in Illinois, the second deer season, we're doing so under really cold temperatures. This is the Great Outdoors Show. So let's talk for a moment about skiing. Not something I talk on the air very much about. Almost no ski resorts are open anywhere in the American West. Lake Tahoe, Sun Valley, Jackson Hole, Aspen, Vail, the whole heartland, if you will, of the absolute core of skiing in America is having its warmest November and December, its driest November and December. Usually this time of the year, they're all open. Nothing is open. So here we are in the Midwest with much more snow than we usually have this time of the year and a really extended cold snap. And west of us, it's tropical. So we know that all things weather is local because that's what we talk about. But from the point of view of the outdoor industry, the ski industry is going to really take on the chin if there is not snow and snow in a hurry. The Christmas season is, and the holiday season is an extremely important time of the year for the ski industry. And right now, it looks like a lot of places won't be open unless things change. So you just never know. But speaking of never knowing, I'm going to describe something that happened recently. And it has to be one of the more humorous and bizarre hunting experiences I've ever had. So for those of you who liked last week's show, when I talked about when my mother and I were on the air, I was on the air with Spike Odell and she shot a duck. This one is so improbable. So recently I was hunting with a group of friends and we had a great number of ducks, mallards, constantly flying towards us, but not decoying at all, just flying overhead, and they would get nowhere near us. And we were hiding our faces. We were, blowing our calls, not blowing our duck calls, doing everything four experienced hunters could do. And we could not begin to decoy a duck. One of the individuals in our blind, who has a great sense of humor, said, "I think it's time for music." And with that, he turns on his phone and he turns on the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger, Brown Sugar. And here we go. Music is blaring, and out of nowhere, ducks that were paying no attention to us whatsoever start to drop into the decoys. And I am not kidding. And all of you listening who've ever duck hunted, you're saying this is not possible. I'm telling you, it is absolutely not only not, it's possible. It happened. So we decided, well, why not even take it a step further? Why not dance? So we started to dance in the blind, and we were dancing around and moving. We were doing all the things you're absolutely never supposed to do when you're duck hunting. We weren't sitting down. We weren't staying still. And we had loud music going, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles. It was as though we were at a party. And flock after flock of ducks that had been flying over for the previous hour and a half, paying no attention, literally turned when they were flying over and came right to us. It is the most bizarre experience, and it made me wonder, you're not allowed to use electronic calls or any electronics when you're calling birds. Well, since when did Mick Jagger become a duck caller? But that's what happened on the single most bizarre duck hunt I think I have ever been on, and this was just in the last few days. So it makes you wonder all the things we've been taught and practiced forever. Don't move. Keep your head down. Be quiet. We broke every single rule. And the more we broke them, the more the ducks came to us. So as I contemplate this on the air this morning, it just is one of those things. And we stood there and we laughed. And literally, the more we moved around and danced to the music, didn't bother the ducks at all. and the louder the music was, didn't bother them. I can tell you, the Ducks did not like Elvis Presley. So as the song track went through, we got to Elvis and his sultry and deep songs, and well, that had the same effect on the Ducks as our duck calls had had just half an hour before. They heard Elvis's voice, and they went the other way. Put back on Mick Jagger, and here they came. And the four of us were laughing so hard, and it was, I just say it on the air because I'll never do it again. I don't think I'll do it again, but defying everything you've ever been taught about how to hunt and throwing it out the window and say, let's try something so entirely different. So to those three friends of mine who shared the blind with me, we will actually never forget it. I don't recommend you go try to do it. Maybe the newest duck call in the world is going to be Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. Forget calling it ducks, just put Mick Jagger on. So anyway, that's what happened. Pretty funny. And really just goes to show you when you're out hunting, you frankly, there are no rules. The rules, they change. And on this particular morning, the rules changed to the point of view where the absurd actually took place. And we had a fantastic duck hunt, playing loud music and dancing in the blind. Never would have believed it. So speaking of things I never would have believed, this is an unbelievable headline. Group is paying hunters $2,000 not to use their tags in a final effort to thwart Florida's bear hunt. As you may recall, this summer I reported on the air that the Florida Game and Fish Commission had passed the regulations to permit bear hunting in Florida. There are a great number of bears. They're problem bears. They're obviously not grizzly bears. They're black bears. They're very different. They are not known for mauling people and killing people the way grizzly bears are. But nonetheless, they still are problems. And so what happened? There is a group called Bear Warriors United, and I am not making this up. It is offering $2,000 per hunter who has a bear hunting tag to not shoot their bear. They tried suing the Florida Game and Fish Commission, and they lost. They tried flooding the lottery system. Florida had a lottery to offer the bear hunts. That didn't do well. Now, in a last-ditch effort to thwart the upcoming Florida black bear hunt, this group is offering to pay hunters $2,000 in exchange for them not using their tags. They called it the Black Friday Bear Deal. November 28th, that's when they announced it, to coincide with the shopping holidays. The original award amount has doubled from $1,000 to $2,000, but they seem to be having a hard time finding people to sign up. So the idea is that anyone who drew a tag to hunt bears in Florida will be permitted by this group. They'll send you a $2,000 check, provided that you sign a contract saying you will not hunt bears and you will not give your tag or sell your tag to someone else. They have the list, because it's a public document, of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission's list. They have the list of every bear tag holder and all their information, all their contact information. So they have the identities of the bear tag holders, which you have to wonder what kind of privacy is that when you go into a lottery to win a tag and all of a sudden you're now in public information and you're being harassed to not hunt bears. And you're more than only being harassed, you are being told, we'll pay you $2,000 not to hunt bears. I really wonder where this is all going. It's ballot box biology, as we've called it for a long time. There's an absolute reason to hunt bears in Florida. There are too many of them, and they are causing wildlife. They're causing damages to habitat, and they also are increasingly interfacing with humans. So there's a scientific, biological reason to hunt bears in Florida. And yet the anti-hunting groups don't want you to do that. They want you to ignore the science, ignore the biology, and they're now willing to pay to do that. I think this is just the beginning of more to come. unfortunately, as we become an ever urbanized society, which we talk a lot about, with no attachment to nature. It really never occurred to anyone that people would be paid $2,000 not to go hunting. But that's what's happening in Florida. I'll be back with much more on the Great Outdoors Show in a moment. And when I do, I'm going to talk about what's going on somewhat in the whole spectrum of conservation right now. A number of big issues, but I'm just going to touch on a couple of them when I come back. Thanks for listening so much. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN Radio. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And going from the extreme situation in Florida where people are being paid, offered money not to hunt bears, moving out to the America West where the situation is far too many people want to hunt and don't have the opportunity. And this is something we've been talking about really for a long time, in that we have a situation increasingly in the American West where there are more and more people who are moving to across the American West. You could name every single state in the Rockies and the West Coast. There are more people moving there, except for California, which had an exodus population. And a lot of these people move to Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, Utah, because they love to hunt and fish. They're leaving environments where hunting and fishing is not terribly welcomed or there's not opportunity. And people are moving to environments where there is great opportunity. The problem is there's not enough opportunity for the population taking place. And so in Idaho recently, they announced that they are now going to go to a non-resident draw in Idaho for big game licenses. It's going to put it much more on a path with other Western states. But what this really means is it is becoming rarer and rarer for individuals to be able to hunt big game in the American West, because there are far more of us wanting to hunt big game than there are elk and deer and antelope that need to be harvested to manage the populations. In the Midwest and in the South and the East, you know, we don't have that problem. We have white-tailed deer virtually overrunning us. And our problem is we don't have enough people hunting white-tailed deer. Wisconsin, all the big game, all the states in the Midwest have seen a decline in the number of people hunting deer in the last 20 years. Maybe a lot of those people have moved to the West. All the Western states are seeing more and more people who want to hunt game and they don't have the opportunity. So now, if you're a non-resident, you're going to go into a draw and you're going to pay a big fee even to go into that draw. And if you're a resident, your chances of getting drawn are less as well, because there are far more people living in these states than there used to be. I mean, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Utah are just exploding in population. So We're at a crossroads. And when I said before the break, I'm going to talk about some really big conservation issues that are brewing. This is a very big one. We are at a crossroads in much of America where more people want to go hunting and fishing than there is the opportunity to have quality hunting and fishing. And in the American West, situation is quickly evolving into one where having the opportunity to shoot a deer, an elk, or an antelope is going to be something that is rare in your life, as opposed to simply being able to walk into a, which you could, sporting goods store as recently as 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and buy your tag, your hunting tag over the counter and go hunting. It has changed that quickly. And that, to me, on a national basis, is one of the really big things we should be worrying about. We have not enough people who want to go hunting in areas where actually we need more hunters, particularly as it relates to deer. And we have too many people who want to go hunting in areas where we don't have enough opportunity. And the American West is growing. We all know that. But the big game herds and populations are not growing. It's carrying over now into the waterfowl hunting, where there's far more pressure and the quality of hunting is opportunities being degraded. It carries over into quail and chukar and everything. So in Illinois, when we used to have a abundant pheasant population, we shot, believe it or not, we shot over 1 million wild pheasants in Illinois 40 years ago and over 2 million bobwhite quail in Illinois. Those numbers today, 10%. Shoot about 200,000 bobwhite quail and about 100,000 wild pheasants. We've lost the opportunity. So it's no wonder that people are going to go where they think there's more opportunity, but at the end of the day, there's not going to be. So this great demographic shift we're seeing in America is actually changing how we're going to be able to carry out conservation. And that's a much longer subject than I have time for today, but it's something certainly to keep our eyes on. So last thing I want to comment on is, believe it or not, we hear about the success of bison in Yellowstone National Park and all the areas. They're too successful. Montana's Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is now proposing extending the hunting of the Yellowstone bison herd. And so there are now so many buffalo that are moving out of Yellowstone Park, in large part because of the wolves in the park are causing the buffalo to move, that they are going to have to expand the targeted hunting areas around Yellowstone and the Gardner Basin, et cetera, Absarokee Beartooth Wilderness areas, for the reason that bison are moving into areas where cattle exist. Cattle and bison do not exist together because of the diseases that bison carry. So too many bison, not enough deer, not enough elk, not enough antelope. It's interesting how all of this is changing. Next week when I come back, I'm going to talk about how a social media influencer falsified being a Wyoming resident just so they could hunt big game. Unbelievable story and really, really sad. So thank you so much for listening. Be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors. Hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago in America, 720 WGN.